The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
You read my mind. They say it's good to practice meditation with a little noise. You know, it's like a fish can't survive in pure water, and so we need something to relate to and practice with. I know some of you have practiced meditation in Asia, some of the meditation centers, and you know, I've gone around a little bit in Southeast Asia and Japan as well. There always seems to be some big construction project, you know, next to like where the best meditation teacher is, the best meditation center. They're never in this kind of quiet, tranquil. And in a way, that's good because it reflects our mind, you know. If we can only meditate, if we can only practice when we're calm, when we're healthy, when we feel good, when there's not car alarms going off in our heads, you know, maybe the practice is missing something. You know, or maybe the practice can't serve us the way it can be a refuge when there's total chaos in our life and there's total chaos in our mind, or some thought or some memory is coming back again and again, and and one of the beautiful things about this practice is you never know what's going to happen. You know, it's like sometimes people talk about the newspaper or journalism as being the first draft of history. You know, I think one of the reasons I love opening the newspaper in the morning is I like novelty. I mean, it's always the same thing, but, you know, variations on a theme. But I want to see, you know, I want to see who died. I want to see what happened. I want to see, you know. I used to always read the obituaries first. And so in a way, in a morning like this, you know, some sitting, some walking, some sitting, we get to experience the first draft of ourselves. You know, we get to experience who we are and how we are before it's gone through, you know, the sanitization, the editing, the, you know, so this is the version with the typos, the run-on sentences, the, you know, it's the version of ourselves that we don't need to show to anybody else. Have you heard this expression in writing, first thought, best thought? or, you know, in art, you know, in this kind of, you know, direct expression that's not mediated by a lot of calculation and concern. Often in a way, that first draft is fresh, you know, it's original, it's authentic. It's like, this is who I am, this is it, you know, this is what's happening in the moment. So meditation, in one way, is simply this opportunity to experience this unedited version of ourselves. And one of the things we get to see is how challenging that can be. You know, we want it to be different. If something is unpleasant, we'd like for whatever is unpleasant to stop. And even in that ending of the unpleasant is pleasant. And then if it's pleasant, just it'll change, you know? It's when something that is pleasant ends, that's usually experienced as unpleasant. So the pleasant has the unpleasant baked into it. The unpleasant has the tantalizing hope for pleasantness, if only it will stop. So usually we ricochet back and forth between pleasant and unpleasant. And and that's fine. In a way, it has to be fine. Even the Buddha, you know, a fully enlightened being, still experienced pleasant and unpleasant Vedana. So it seems that this dimension of our experience, this aspect of our experience, isn't going away. Just like the car alarm. Whatever that is. And then there's this dramatic proposition, this dramatic statement that all of our suffering, all of our desire and our craving has its origin, has its genesis in some pleasant experience. And all of our resistance, our aversion, our hatred, our fear has its origin in something that's unpleasant, in just a simple unpleasant experience. You know, if you know this story about the monk who had to, I know I think about this now, the monk who had a tooth that he had to pull his, he was kind of, you know, practicing in isolation, and he had a bad tooth that needed to come out. You know, and so he kind of had to take it out himself. So he decided, right, I'm going to take it out with this pair of pliers. And, you know, practicing with this pleasant and unpleasant. So the time came to perform the procedure. And so he thought, well, you know, he picked up the pliers. He's like, well, that didn't hurt. You know, and then clean them off and wash them. That didn't hurt. And then, you know, prepared his mouth and clean, you know, rinsed his mouth. That didn't hurt either. Then, you know, got everything set up with the mirror and whatever. That didn't hurt. And then put the pliers gently, you know, onto the infected tooth. And he's like, that didn't hurt. Then he pulled it out. That hurt. Okay. Many of us, it's possible to design a whole life that's around avoiding what's unpleasant. You know, chasing after what's pleasant and avoiding what's unpleasant. In a way, this is kind of our nature. And the somewhat radical teaching of the Buddha is that the way to happiness, the way to inner peace, inner freedom, isn't through maximizing the number of pleasant moments in our life. And it isn't through minimizing the number of unpleasant moments. It's something about finding our freedom or finding our independence from the pleasant and unpleasant. The pleasant and unpleasant can be there, but we have the capacity to hold them, the capacity to stay with them, to observe them without getting caught. You know, if it's pleasant, I like it, I want it, I have to have it. You know, if it's unpleasant, I don't want it, I can't have it. It's get away from it. You know, so what is it to be independent? And the you know, fortunately, the Buddha didn't just point out this conundrum, but turned us towards mindfulness. You know, mindfulness is the observing power of the mind, the knowing power of the mind. And in some very simple but very profound way, to know something is to be free from it. To see something is to be free from it. You know, we may have a lot of anger that comes up, a lot of rage, you know, some injustice or something we see or something that really, really pains us. And but the part of us that knows the anger, the part of us that sees the anger, isn't itself angry. You know, so just in this seeing, just in this knowing, it calls forth, it brings forth the part of us that's already free, you know, that always was free. Mindfulness or knowing or awareness itself isn't angry. Itself isn't fearful. Itself isn't affected, isn't enhanced or diminished by whatever it sees. You know? This can bring a tremendous lightness and joy and freedom to your practice, to have some inkling of that, oh, I can be mindful of anything. You know, whatever comes up. You know, however wonderful, however difficult, we don't have to be afraid of it because we can see it, we can know it, we can find our freedom, find our independence in relation to it. And not only is that a tremendously liberating discovery for our own lives. But then it's something, it's a gift that we can give to others. You know, it's said that one of the gifts of this practice is the gift of fearlessness. You know, so there isn't anything to be afraid of. And when we can embody that more and more, it's a tremendous gift to the other people in our lives and the people we encounter. I mean, just one example that I think of that I, you know, are the incredibly generous and gifted people who work in hospice, who work with people who are in the dying process. And it's an incredible gift, you know, to, I can only imagine, you know, to be a person in the dying process, to be with someone who isn't afraid, you know, and can kind of share that. And sometimes the person who's dying is the person who isn't afraid. And then that is an incredible gift, you know, the gift of a beautiful death. I appreciate you. I appreciate each of you for your willingness to be here and to engage you know, your mind, your heart, because you know, in doing that, in this dance, in this this simple being with our experience as it is. It's a tremendous offering, not only for yourself, but to the world. And I wish you much peace and joy and freedom and the happiness that comes from you know, this very simple offering, this very simple practice. So thank you very much.